You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is exactly 9 o'clock on this beautiful, beautiful Friday morning in Chicago.
There is a sun.
There is a sun.
There is a sun.
And co-host Wayne Majors, Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How was your week so far?
It's almost over. That's the best part about it.
I know it's been very, very busy for you.
Yeah, it's almost over.
Now, so do keep in prayer along with our listeners. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, 12 men for the Archdiocese of Chicago to be ordained to the Catholic priesthood at Holy Name Cathedral, young men. Who will serve in different parishes in the Archdiocese, and I thought about it driving this morning. 32 years ago today,
wow,
was my first Mass as a priest,
wow,
at Mary Seat of Wisdom in Park Ridge. I was ordained with my classmates on May 9th, but then my first Mass was on Sunday, May 20th. 32 years.
Hopped on your horse and rode to the church, right?
It's been a great ride. It's been a great run.
Time and goes by fast.
God has been good, and it's been just a... It really had Four Simons, Church of the Holy Spirit, Niles College Seminary of Loyola, St. Mary of the Woods, and now pastor at St. Mary's in Evanston. We have a tremendous program lined up this morning. Our number, 312-255-8408. This morning on the Catholic Community of Faith, in our first segment, we will talk with noted grief and bereavement expert Amy Florian, who will help all of us learn more about getting through life's hurts. You'll want to stay tuned for the second half of our show when we talk with three experts who will help us understand more about the financial end of parish operations. But our first half of the show is by phone from Phoenix, Arizona, where it's about 7:02 a.m., is Amy Florian, nationally recognized liturgist and bereavement consultant who works as a teacher, trainer, and grief coach. Amy is a fellow in Thanatology, the study of death and grief in the Association for Death Education and Counseling, and the founder of Corgenius. She is an adjunct professor at Loyola, Dominican, and Xavier Universities. In addition, Amy is the author of over 90 articles and 2 books. Amy Florian, what do you do in your spare time? Welcome, Amy.
Well, there isn't a whole lot of spare time, but in my spare time, I read, I swim, I pray. I pray all the time. I enjoy my family. I do balance my life in the way that I need to in order to be as good a person as I can be.
In this whole area of grief and bereavement, which really touches every listener, we've all lost a loved one, all of us, at different age.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, how did you get involved, particularly in this area, where you have become really a grief and bereavement expert? How did that begin?
Well, it began after I was widowed when I was 25 years old. I married my high school sweetheart, John, when we were 19, and I'm the third of 10 children. We always wanted to have a big family. In our first 5 years of marriage, we lived through 2 very difficult miscarriages. And of course, especially then, when people had a miscarriage, nobody knew what to say. Nobody knew what to do. They would say things like, oh, you're young, you can have more. Or, well, it wasn't really a baby yet. Or just some very... no one was trying to be cruel. They just didn't know any better. Then when I was 25, we finally had a perfect, healthy baby boy. We felt so blessed, like the luckiest people on the face of the earth. But when that baby boy was 7 months old, my husband was killed in a car accident.
Wow.
So by the age of 25, I had survived the deaths of 2 unborn children and the death of my best friend, the light of my life, my rock, my foundation, my husband. I didn't know what to do with myself, and very few other people did either. What do you say to a 25-year-old widow with a 7-month-old child? Oh, for that matter, what do you say to a 68-year-old man whose wife of 47 years just died? Nobody really knows what to do or what to say. We have wonderful rituals in the Catholic Church. I thank God continuously for the order of Christian funerals, for the wake, the visitation, the funeral mass, the committal rite. These are beautiful, wonderful rituals. But then everybody goes home. Then what? The way I coped was by writing. I didn't write for publication. I wrote in my own journal. But about 5 years after John died, I was talking to a priest who was doing seminars on grief and loss. I allowed him to read some of the things in my journal, and he said, Amy, you've got to get some of this stuff published. And by the way, would you work with me on my seminars on grief and loss? That's where it began. I started working on his seminars on grief and loss. Someone else heard me speak and asked me to go somewhere else. Someone else heard me speak and asked me to go somewhere else. Pretty soon people started asking what my credentials were, and I really didn't have academic credentials. So I went back to school. I got my master's degree. I got my certification, my fellow in thanatology, which is the highest level of certification you can get in grief and death studies. I have now facilitated a support group for widowed people for over 25 years. I teach my courses at Loyola University in the graduate department and other universities as an undergrad. And it just keeps going. God keeps putting things in my lap and saying, go here, go here, go here, and I go.
Amy, you mentioned that that writing for you was an important part of the important part of the grieving process, but you needed I would imagine support from elsewhere as well. Where did you get it?
Number one, my faith. There's a limit to what human beings can do. I am I'm the third of 10 children. There were people who loved me, who were by my side as much as they could be. But no matter how much somebody loved me, they can't be there 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be there at 3 o'clock in the morning when the tears won't stop and I don't think I can go on. But God can. So as my pain hollowed me out like a blowtorch, God was there to slowly and gently start filling me back up again.
And that experience, Amy, has really formed a lot of what you do, because you have, in your work, married, or shall we say not decoupled, the psychological from the spiritual dimension of this entire area, right?
Yeah. I do sometimes, I give presentations for audiences that are not faith-based, and then I just talk about grief. But for me, it is intimately intertwined. Faith, healing, the support of people, that's the human face of God.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all called to do. We're called to be healers like Jesus was.
You know, I find as a priest that I just could not separate grief from faith. And I think one of the most beautiful lines that we pray at the funeral liturgy celebration goes like this: at the moment of our death, for the believer, life is changed, not ended. For the believer, life is changed, not ended. What does that mean? Eternal life with God. But I always say, when you lose a loved one, a part of you dies. And the more you love someone, the harder it is to say goodbye. But one of the most classic lines, and I'm sure, Amy, you have found many profound lines, is grieving is a process, recovery is a decision. Grieving is a process, recovery is a decision. And I find that it can only with the strength of God through faith to take us through that grieving process. And grieving, we must. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Our guest is Amy Florian. Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majors. Please give us a call regarding your own experience, questions you may have for Amy this morning. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for those who have died in the service of our country and for all those we wish to honor in a special way. Begin your observance of Memorial Day by attending one of the field masses being celebrated at most of the 44 Catholic cemeteries in Cook and Lake counties. For times and locations of these field masses, go to www.catholiccemeterieschicago.org. Celebrate your memories at a Catholic cemetery's field mass.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, Friday morning in Chicago. Wayne Madjars and Father Greg Sackwitz. Our telephone number, 312-255-8408 this morning. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, our guest is Amy Florian. She is the nationally recognized expert on bereavement and the process of dealing with grief. And Amy, one of the things that we often confront when we try to read about or understand grief counseling and working with the bereaved is that American culture overall is not terribly supportive. It's not terribly fertile when it comes to providing places and spaces for the bereaved to go and to get that support that you talked about before the break. Talk about that for a little bit, and how that influences the reality of our American culture, really influences the work that you do in a lot of your speaking and group work.
That's a huge factor, because we live in a death-denying society. We deny death and pain and disability and aging and anything that is not young, productive, competent, capable. We don't want to look at it. We deny it. We push it to the side. I sometimes say, you know, if you look at our language, we use the words dead and dying and death all the time, but not to refer to a person who died. We say things like, "She's drop-dead gorgeous. I'm dying to see you. Oh, that boy will be the death of me. We can be dead drunk, dead broke, dead tired, hit a target in dead center. We're dying to get out of heat in the summer." We use the words all the time, but when a person dies, they've been called home, gone to their reward, gone to their rest, hopefully resting in peace. They expire, they're lost, they're gone, they pass or pass away. We don't say the words.
Mm. But I never thought about that. That's excellent.
We don't even want to look at the words. So when somebody dies, as I said, in the church, for instance, we have these wonderful rituals, but then after that, people start saying, "Well, put this behind you and get on with life now. Well, what's the matter with you? You're still crying?" We don't want to bring up the name of the person who died because we're afraid we're going to make the person cry, as if they're not crying. I mean, they're crying. They're just not crying in public. We don't offer the level of support we need to. And part of what, part of my purpose is to help people understand that we need to support grieving people all the way to the resurrection, not just to the tomb, too often, even in the church, sadly, we leave people at the tomb. We don't walk them to the resurrection. What we need to do is walk people all the way to the resurrection, to be there with them 2 months later, 8 months later, a year later, 2 years later. Because when it's a significant death, a significant loss and grief, it is not over in a couple of weeks. It's not over in a year.
See, what I'd also find, Amy, is that even like at the wake, when people have said to me, what do I tell the grieving widow? And sometimes people have said to me, oh, I'm not going to go to the wake. I don't know what to say. And my response is, just say my deepest sympathy and give them a big hug. I mean, there's no words that are going to change the reality.
That's true. There's no words that are going to change the reality. Another thing you can do, though, that is helpful, is to give a memory or a story of the person who died.
Mm-hmm.
When someone dies, we want to know that their life made a difference, that they touched somebody. So if you can go up to, for instance, a grieving husband and say, Jim, there's nothing that I can say. I'm just shocked, and I can't imagine what you're going through. But, you know, one thing I will always remember about Karen is that fantastic smile. I mean, she could light up a room when she walked into it. That's a memory of Karen that I'm going to carry in my heart for the rest of my life.
Yeah, to keep that memory alive in that individual life.
Exactly. Exactly. And Amy, if you have more time, you can ask him what he hopes people will remember about Karen. Mm-hmm. Let him talk about her, too.
Amy, how does the reality of our culture as it relates to dealing with bereavement and grief, how does that really flavor and color the kinds of questions that you get when you're talking with groups, when you're talking with individuals? Does it oversimplify, does it not really hit the mark as far as the kinds of questions that you get when it comes to dealing with the subject for folks who may or may not, I would imagine, have gone through a process of grieving?
Well, the biggest effect I notice is that people are reluctant to come to a talk about grief. They don't want to face it, don't want to look at it. However, if they come, if we can, you know, I always have to tweak the title or the description or something to make it sound more enticing, because otherwise they won't come. They think it's going to be depressing. When they come and we start really looking at it and we take away the discomfort, we name the reality, we just talk about it and how you heal, then people realize this is a safe place, and the questions pour out and the stories pour out. People are hungry to talk about their grief. They're hungry to heal. They're hungry to ask questions. And when they find out I'm safe, it just pours out from everywhere.
See, I think you really said it, Amy, and that is people will go into denial, not want to talk about it, bury it, and I say grieving, we must. You must be able to talk about it, and it hurts. And it'll bring tears, but that's part of the healing. An example I use is, if you break your arm, you rush to the hospital, they set the bone, 6 weeks in a cast, and then you do therapy, work afterwards. You don't deny it. You have to deal with it. And the human body goes through a healing process with broken bones and tissues. What about a broken heart?
Exactly.
What about the broken heart? And then we say, oh, get over it, get on.
Right.
I remember a woman said to me, you know, I miss him so much, and it's been 2 months. And I said, what? I said, it is still raw. It is still so early. Give yourself permission to grieve, to cry, to talk about it. And yet, you're so right, we live in a death denial society. We use the word, like, I'm dying to see you, I'm dying for this, I'm dying for that.
Mm-hmm.
But upon death, we change the words. And in the work that you will take it back, we're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith, because I didn't realize how fast this is going by. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Madjars. Our guest is Amy Florian, a nationally recognized liturgist and bereavement consultant and expert. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. The time is 9:20 on this beautiful Friday morning on Relevant Radio 950. We'll be back right after a break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk with Cardinal Francis George about the beatification of Pope John Paul II. We'll take you on a pilgrimage to Quincy, Illinois, a river town that played a major role in the life of Father Augustus Tolton. And we'll give you a snapshot of the strategic pastoral plan for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, all over Radio 950 AM. Amy Florian is our guest, talking about the bereavement process, death and dying. And Amy, you do a lot of work around the country, speaking to groups, conducting workshops, missions, training sessions. How is the subject different when you're talking with an older group versus a younger group, or when you're sitting across the table from an individual who may be in their 70s versus an individual who may be in their teens or maybe even younger than that?
Actually, the conversation is not altogether different, because there are unique aspects of each type of grieving, but grief is the impact of the death of a person is the impact of the death of a person, and it's, while there's differences, there are some differences, it's still hard. Whether you're young or old, whether you've been married for 5 years or 50, whether it was a sudden death or a long, prolonged death process, there are some differences, but there are so many similarities in the impact that the conversation really doesn't end up being that much different. It's just the particular issues each person is dealing with.
In the individuals you've worked with, Amy, is there any evidence to suggest that an individual who experiences death when they're younger, what I mean by that is in their teens, maybe in their preteens, that they're in a better position to deal with it better throughout the rest of their life?
No.
Okay.
Our prior experiences of loss do affect how we grieve. There's many things that affect how we grieve: personality, prior experience of loss, support networks, the particular relationship you have with the individual who died. There's many things that affect the way we grieve, but we don't do a good job of helping children grieve. Too often, if somebody experiences a significant death as a preteen, people say, oh, kids are resilient, you know, they'll recover.
Yeah, we hear it all the time, right. You
know, we sometimes get so focused on the parent. We get sometimes so focused on the parent or the grandparent who lost a loved one that the children, you're right, they're kind of left aside, and we don't know what to say. Or like you say, they will get over it. Amy, in all the work you do in the last couple of minutes, what would you like to share with the listeners, like the two or three most important items in your heart to get through to our listeners that maybe can touch their heart about death, about grieving, about loss?
Well, one thing in line with faith, what I hear many people say is, do not grieve like those who have no hope. And the way they interpret that is, do not grieve. If you have faith, you don't grieve. That is not true. We grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve in light of the support of God. We grieve in light of the Paschal Mystery, which says our God will always have the final word. No matter how deep the tomb, no matter how black the night, we have a God who works for resurrection. And somehow, if you walk through the tomb with Christ, resurrection's going to come on the other side. We can't see how. We don't know how, but it's going to come on the other side. And that can sustain us through grief. The other thing that can sustain us through grief as those who have hope is the communion of saints. We are connected to those who have died in ways we don't understand. And I believe that. I've heard so many stories and seen so many ways that we are connected with those who have died. So those of us who have faith, we grieve. It hurts. But we are called to grieve, called to cry, called to resolve and heal from our grief going through the tomb with God, knowing that resurrection is going to come on the other side, and we are still surrounded by the spirits of the ones we love, whom we will see again. And that can help sustain us through our grief.
Well, I think the biggest danger
is not to grieve at all.
But the key in our society, you mentioned earlier, Amy, is that we are very uncomfortable when we see somebody crying at a wake, at a funeral. Mm-hmm. Now, if we laugh together, oh, marvelous, we're laughing, people love it, enjoy it. But crying makes us uncomfortable, and yet crying we must. Crying we must, because it's an emotion, it's a getting out. And I come from a society, when I was a boy, I'm 58 years old as a kid, don't cry for boys. Right. You're a boy, don't cry. Now, that didn't come from my mother or father, it came from the neighborhood. So you played sports, you get banged up, you wouldn't think of crying, you bite the bullet. And so you don't show the crying, and yet nothing could be further from the truth.
I often say it's not the strong people who don't cry. It's the strong people who do. Because those emotions are painful. It takes a lot of energy to suppress tears and grief and crying. It takes a lot of energy to push that down. It takes strength to face it. It takes strength to face your weakness and vulnerability and the void and the pain. It takes strength, especially in this society, and especially if you're male. It takes strength to allow those tears to come out.
And I'll even take it a step further and then say it's okay to be angry with God.
Oh,
we live in this Catholic culture that says, oh, if I'm angry at God, God's going to punish me. Baloney. I always say God's a big boy. He can take it. And so to say, you lash out the Lord and say, Lord, why? When you were 25 years old and your husband died in a tragic car accident and you were left with a 7-month-old infant, how could you not say, God, why? And to have a moment of anger. How could that not happen?
Oh, I threw temper tantrums on the living room floor. I was so angry sometimes. I would lash out at God. I would look at the Psalms that say, God, don't you see what's happening? My pillow is soaked with tears. What kind of God can you call yourself if this is what's happening? The Psalms say that kind of stuff.
That's right. And doesn't make you...
And I expressed my anger, and you know what? God can handle it. God's got big shoulders.
Right.
And when my anger was spent, God put an arm around me and led me on.
Yeah. Amy, we've got just a few minutes left, and we've used the word maybe too loosely in the last half hour, talk about recovery or getting over it, the other euphemisms that go along with that. But how would you describe or how would you label that point after or during or toward the end of a grieving process when someone has... in quotes, I'm using the word recovered, or when someone has come to a point of dealing with their grief, come to the point of dealing with their loss. What is that what is that stage called? What is that step called? And how do you know you're there?
There is no final closure. There is no point at which you say, there, I will never cry again. I will never miss him again. I will never wonder what life would have been like if he was still alive. That doesn't happen. If you love somebody deeply, you will have grief bursts or ambushes for the rest of your life. But that's okay, because you never want to forget the person you loved. You don't put it behind you and get on with life. You create a memory out of what can no longer be, and you carry it with you into a future that's going to be very different than you thought it was going to be. At the same time, the process of grief is a gradual process where the times of sadness and sorrow become less intense and less frequent, and the times of happiness and joy become more intense and more frequent. Eventually, instead of crying all day and having the good times be like bright splashes of color on the gray of your grief, eventually the times of sadness become gray splotches of color on the brightness of your life. You do become, gradually, you regain your sense of joy. You regain your sense of living, and you decide that instead of living in the past and saying, why, you say, okay, I don't know why. I'll never know why. But what now? Where am I called now? What am I doing now? And regaining that purpose in your life, the joy in your life, that's the process of healing.
On that note, we need to bring this segment to a close. Amy Florian, a nationally recognized liturgist and bereavement expert and consultant. I want to thank you very much for joining us on this half hour of Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. Amy, keep up the marvelous work. Our prayers are with you, and God bless you. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. And if you want to know more about parish financial management, stay with us, because after the break, we have three marvelous guests who will enlighten us on this very important subject. We'll be back, and do not touch that dial.
Of antique mechanical curiosities from Victrolas to steam engines at the magical San Filippo Estate Saturday, May 21st at Catholic Charities Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser. The dazzling event benefits programs that help the homeless in Northwest Cook County. The ticket price of $175 per person includes an extensive tour, elegant dinner, and lively auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer. For more information, visit catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back into the program. And by the way, for those of you who may be interested, Amy Florian, who was with us during the last segment of the program, she'll be here locally in Chicago coming up at the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, doing a talk called Moving On with Grace, A Spiritual Journey for Men and Women Grieving the Death of a Spouse. It's coming up on Saturday, June 4th. 9 until 1, and you can get more information by going to their website. It's www.ourladyofpompeii2eyes.org, and that's Amy Florian on Saturday, June 4th, called Moving On with Grace. She's really good. She's a great speaker and a really good...
She was phenomenal that first half, Wayne, in terms of about death and grieving, the need to talk about it, our language. We talk about, I'm dying to see you, but when someone dies, we say, we can't use the word. So marvelous. I want to thank Amy Florian. We welcome three representatives from the Archdiocese of Chicago's Parish Operations Office. We have with us Taffy Iwanicki, Manager of Parish Operations, Debbie Finley, Administrative Assistant in Parish Operations, and Lauren Zitlow, Parish Operations Design and Training Specialist. Good morning, Taffy, Debbie, and Lauren.
Good morning.
You guys had a long commute from your office down here, right?
One whole floor.
Yes, we do.
All right. And also let our listeners know that Taffy is a diehard. Diehard Chicago Cubs fan. My deepest sympathy. Taffy, I'm a diehard White Sox fan, but we have no bragging rights for either one of us. Well, thank you for joining us on the program this morning. Our phone number 312-255-8408. Taffy, what is the mission and purpose of the Parish Operations Office?
I'm so glad that you asked that question.
I'm so glad you wrote it.
Our Parish Operations works collaboratively with the people. We are people of finance and administration. So we focus on providing a service that supports our parishes, schools, and communities in carrying out their mission and the vision. Our staff is really compassionate. They're professionals who are valued for their faith, service, and integrity. We're really fortunate to have a staff that is so dedicated. They're compassionate. And I really feel that they feel that this is more than just a job. So they reach out to the parishes and working with pastors and leadership and their communities to be able to fulfill their mission.
How long has this office been in operation, Taffy? Has it been here for a long time?
Yes, it has been, as a matter of fact. Actually, I've been with the diocese for over 20 years now. So parish operations actually evolved in when the Vicariate Administrative Consultants came aboard, and that was in the year 1990.
Okay.
So 21 years ago.
Right. When we say, help us understand here, when we say parish operations under that heading, I presume we're talking about everything that has a financial impact on a parish as a corporation, as a mini corporation, right?
Sure. Actually, what we do is we work under the direction of financial services department, but we work with the parishes in all administration. So we kind of help the parishes and the pastors work with, take away maybe some of the burden that some of the pastors have to undertake. So anything to do with legal services, anything to do with facilities and construction and maintenance and the real estate area, human resources, finance, our controllers group, insurance and risk management, internal audits, and as well as working with some of the agencies outside of the financial services department, like I said, HR and IT. And we work collaboratively with the agencies and also with the parishes in those areas.
Lauren Zitlow, as Parish Operations Design and Training Specialist, tell us what you do in the context of this office.
So my job as the trainer, basically, for parish operations is to educate and bring the confidence to the individual of the people who are involved in the parish, the financial areas of the parish. So whether that be the day-to-day transactions that they enter into QuickBooks, whether it be creating financial statements for their parishioners or creating the financial reports that are turned into the Archdiocese, I kind of help them and train them to focus on all those different areas and educate them and help them, you know, bring that better.
And how about Debbie Finley, your role with the whole downtown operation?
I am the administrative assistant, which is for Taffy Iwanicki. And so I assist in, my job is sitting here at Quigley, and I get a lot of phone calls and pretty much make sure that everybody gets to where they need to be. Our department consists of the vicariate administrative consultants for each of the six vicariates, so I'm in contact with them and helping them get in touch with the parishes or whoever needs their resources. We also work closely. Our department has the accounting services centers, so we try to make sure that everybody is in touch with who they need to be with.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Madgers and our guest, Taffy Iwanicki, Debbie Finley, and Lauren Zitlow from the Archdiocese of Chicago's Parish Operations Office. Our number, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back into the program, 9:43 on a Friday morning in Chicago. Taffy Iwanicki is with us. She is the manager of parish operations. Debbie Finley, administrative assistant in parish operations. And Lauren Zitlow, who is responsible for the design and training aspect of the office. Talking about the Archdiocese of Chicago's... The Archdiocese of Chicago's parish operations
office.
Hope
your tongue doesn't cleave to your palate.
Parishes are busy places, and they're all, you know, they all come with their own unique spins on how they operate, with schools, without schools, the size of the parishes, the ethnic makeup of the parishes. Taffy, give us, from a high level, an idea of how the work of your office kind of plugs into the life of a parish, either through their councils or commissions.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that. I think one of the beauty of our office is that we have the capability, or our responsibility is to be hands-on with the parishes. So our office is basically on site. We go to the parishes. So a lot of times what that does is it entails is that
there may be days that we just sit down and listen to the pastor or to the business manager or to the lay leaders as to what their needs are, and we respond to that working with the different agencies. Or you may be finding us at times climbing roofs and being able to look or walk around the buildings. Or we may be sitting down and actually working through budgets, or sitting down and talking to a pastor or a business manager about issues that they may be having with their employees, talking to them about who they should talk to about hiring or firing an employee. So that's the kind of interaction that we have, and something that, you know, Debbie was alluding to, that all of the different phone calls come directly through us of all different avenues. Even parishioners will call us to maybe even ask for different mass schedules because of the title of parish operations.
So a majority of your work is more reacting to a particular need in a parish than it is actually going out there and being a proactive catalyst for something in particular, right? Is that safe?
It is, but I would also like to say that we are very much involved right now in some long-term planning. We're involved with the parish transformation program that is starting to come up in the strategic plan. So you'll be hearing more and more about that, as will the parishioners.
Now, say something more about a parish business manager. You know, many have them, some don't. And people have said, like, you know, what is a parish business manager? So maybe Debbie or Lauren, what is a parish business manager? I mean, I've been blessed with business managers in St. Mary of the Woods and now at St. Mary. So what are they and what's their role?
They're a business manager is a person that would be at the parish that handles most of the administrative work. Well, it varies on parishes, because sometimes the business manager also prepares lunch for the pastor or for the staff.
I've never had that before.
They have.
I think the job description of the business manager at St. Mary's was just expanded. As you said that.
But one of the things, I mean, I know we're going to talk about this a little later, but one of the things we're hosting right now is a conference next week, and we do offer a workshop at the conference for business managers, and we have a focus on four areas, which is administrative, finance, insurance and risk, and real estate. So
and those lunch are, making varied menus.
And lunch making and opening the door, and it depends. But our business managers do work very hard out there, and they have a lot of responsibility. And most of them, as Taffy said earlier, take it very seriously. And they, just as we do above and beyond, I feel a lot of the business managers, just speaking with them on a regular basis, they do a lot of work out there, and they're very proud of it and very excited.
Lauren, do you spend a lot of your time working with and helping business managers become better at what they do?
Yes, I do work a lot with the business managers. And as Father Greg mentioned, too, a lot of these parishes don't just have maybe the title of a business manager, but it's an office manager, whoever it may be at the parish who's working with the finance. And my goal as a trainer would be to help them streamline those processes, because as Debbie mentioned, they have so many different types of responsibilities. It's not only the financial areas. So I hope to go out there and I meet with all these people and help educate them and give them a little bit training so they can make those processes a little bit easier and then use that other time to spend on different activities.
And Taffy, maybe one way for outsiders to better appreciate the work that you guys all do is that this is not a one-size-fits-all, right? There's different demands, priorities, parish by parish.
Absolutely. Depending on the size of the parish, depending on the resources of the parish, that really truly does come into play. And I want to bounce this back to Lauren, because 80% of our parishes have what we would probably say a type of a business manager, whether it's a bookkeeper or something to what Debbie said earlier. It's maybe has been a housekeeper that now has graduated to the title of a bookkeeper or a business manager. So it's very diverse into what their background has been. But Lauren, why don't you talk just a little bit about our accounting services department, in where we do provide some accounting. We provide payroll services in our accounting services department for over 200 parishes, and then over 45 accounting services to parishes. But Lauren actually does training for our parishes where there's bookkeepers that, you know, take advantage of that. Lauren, why don't you touch base on some of that?
Well, as Taffy mentioned, our accounting services department, we not only do over 200 payrolls, but we also have a group out there who is at our St. Francis of Rome office as well as St. Walter's office. And they actually go out and they do the accounting for 48 parishes. So as you guys mentioned before, not all parishes do have business managers or somebody there to do the day-to-day financial transactions or the reports or the statements that need to go out to the parishioners so they can show the transparency what's going on in the parish. So we actually go out and we do that day-to-day accounting for them. And I am part of that little accounting group, but I also go out and train the business managers and the office managers who are out at the parishes. So our department is so crucial, and we work really, really hard to serve all these parishes so they can serve their community.
You know, Lauren, you think you hit on a very important word. The word is transparency, which we'll say more about after the break. We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. The time is exactly 950 on this beautiful Friday spring morning in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majors and our guests, Taffy Iwanicki, Debbie Finley, Lauren Zitlow. And stay with us. We'll be back right after break. We're talking about Parish Operations Office.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can focus, reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity is available for all those who sign up for the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Scholars from across the United States will help you explore the life-giving role the Bible plays in the liturgical life of the Church. This theme is timely as we await the implementation of the third edition of the Roman Missal in November. As always, Summer Scripture is guided by Vatican II's vision of Scripture as the soul of theology. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 19th to the 24th. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to www.summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord. It's a great way to start the summer.
Welcome back to the program, talking about parish operations through the Archdiocese of Chicago. Taffy Iwanicki is with us, Debbie Finley and Lauren Zitlow, and coming up next Wednesday and Thursday, May 25 and 26 at the Chicago Marriott Oakbrook is...
That's parish, right before your birthday.
Yes, it is. And we'll be before the end of the program. We'll be sure to give away my favorite colors, all my sizes, and necessary addresses for the showering of gifts. Parish Management Conference, Identifying Creative Solutions in Extraordinary Times. Two keynote speakers, over 20 workshops, day and a half long. Maybe we can start with you, Taffy. How did this all come together, and what can an attendee expect?
Yeah. We are just so excited about this. We have been putting in a lot of time and effort to make this a success. How this has really come about, it's come about over several years. We've been doing a lot of different small workshops throughout the diocese and basically on vicariate level. About 10 years ago, we actually did run one up in Mundelein, and it was a huge success at that time. And at that time, we thought we would be able to continue to do this on a regular basis. We have, at the back end of Festival of Faith, tried to do several, you know, other types of these types of conferences, but they haven't had quite the success that we wanted to. So we actually launched this at an open house that we had here at Quigley for our business managers. That was last July. So the business managers and our pastors and our finance council members have been just really overwhelmingly excited about doing this. So we're just really excited to be able to bring them together.
Debbie, who should be coming to this? For this two-day workshop, who's invited or who should be there?
The targeted audience is pastors, administrators, finance council members, and business managers. So we have an array of 26 workshops that we're offering that are specifically, we have some workshops specifically for business managers, finance council members, and pastors. We also have a range of workshops for finance and accounting basics, social media, building maintenance, compensation and benefits, legal aspects, real estate, and we even have a CSI Chicago workshop.
And you didn't mention the one that I was going to suggest for the Greg attend, which is social media, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, yeah. Do's and don'ts. Because we all know how technology savvy and immersed.
What is that,
Father Greg is?
Wow!
And up until last week, he was calling it facelift, not Facebook.
Would you like to see my
just
number two pencil?
Set the stage here.
My yellow pad.
How did all this come together? There's a great variety of topics here, and I would imagine it would energize anyone who is involved in any aspect of parish operations when you sat down and said, "Let's put this all together." How did you prioritize what gets done and what doesn't?
Well, we went out there and we surveyed the business managers, the pastors, administrators, and a lot through my training role when we were out at the training classes. We asked them, you know, what tools do they need? What workshops would they like to see? What types of events would they like to go to? So it really did formulate from the people who are attending. So that was our goal, and I think that's what we really strive to do. And you talked about what are the expectations for our participants. So really, we want to bring them the tools so they can go back to their parishes and feel rejuvenated, feel important about their roles, because their roles are so key and so important at the parish and the people that they serve. So we want them to not only get the financial areas, the financial aspects, but also the spiritual aspects, the networking opportunities.
And realize they're not in it alone.
Yes,
that there's
exactly.
others that are facing.
And Taffy,
yeah,
you said about 300 people have already signed up. Give us a
right.
phone number for someone to learn more about this and a web.
Okay, our website is
parishops.archchicago.org.
parishops.archchicago.org. And what about a phone number? Any information?
312-534-8094.
Want to thank in a very special way members from the Chicago's Parish Operations Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, Taffy Iwanicki, Manager of Parish Operations, Debbie Finley, Administrative Assistant in Parish Operations, and Lauren Zitlow, Parish Operations Design and Training Specialist.
And Taffy, despite the fact that you're a Cubs fan, you can come back.
Oh, thank you
yes.
so much.
And I hope the Cubs win at least a game.
Oh,
and special
they'll
thanks.
They'll win a few.
special thanks to Wayne Madjars for co-hosting this morning. And Wayne, you always do a great job. Great to be with
nice
you.
Nice to see you. Have a nice week.
And
an
excellent work with Diane Dunnigan, our producer, and also to Diane, her husband, Kevin. Happy 33rd wedding anniversary today.
Wow.
Is that right, Diane?
Happy anniversary.
Congratulations.
I didn't think Diane was more than 35.
My Lord, you married when you were 9. And God bless it to Diane and Kevin. And special great work to our engineer, Michael May, for wonderful work. To all our listeners, God bless and have a great weekend, and go Bulls!
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.